good. Okay, so what this was, again, was the one we looked at last time, but now I have the wild weed in it. And what I did here was what I consider the best style, and you're going to see the one I'm going to look at in a few minutes is not as good a style, but it's a very definite style that is used out there. But I like this as traditional programming, where I do an initializing read, and at the bottom, I do the read to replace that. So I have the initializing read here. And right before the other one. So I have the two initializing reads right before the whiles. And at the bottom of the while, just before I go back, and I have it on both of them. So it is right before the end loop of both of them. And style-wise, I think this is a very good style. It's the style I use in programming, period. And I think it's a very good style, where you have an initializing read prior to entering the loop, and then just prior to returning, you do another read. In this case, fetch, because you're fetching from the cursor. But essentially, it's the fetch. And so I have the initializing one coming out just before I enter loops. And at the bottom of each loop, right before the end loop, I go back. And again, I've done a variety of styles because I think that it's important to see the variety of styles. But if I were to pick a style that I like, this is the style that I think is really the cleanest. Okay, and it's not just me. It's, you know, it's a heavily used style. Okay. So I have my fetch, and then I have my loop, and I stay inside my loop, and then I go back out. Now, what we have here, and what we're going to have in the next one we're going to look at, is, as I said before, a one-to-many relationship. Okay, so I have a one-to-many relationship here. And this is especially true of that one-to-many relationship, because I'm handling the many inside the inner loop. Okay, so I'm handling the many inside the inner loop. So this one is while donation cursor found. So what I'm doing here is the outer loop, okay, moves through the drive, which is the one. Okay, that's the one side. And the inner loop moves through the donation, which is the many side. Okay, that's the many side. So basically, I read one thing from the drive, and then the inner loop handles all of the matching things in the donation. And when I've handled all the matching things in the donation, I go back and I read the next drive. And then I get all the matching things in the donation, and then I go back and read the next drive. Okay, so this would be a classic kind of one-to-many situation. If I have an employee, if I have my employee file and I have a weekly pay file, I'm going to read an employee, and then I'm going to have an inner loop that handles all their weekly pay information. And when I've finished with that, I'll go back to the outer loop and read the next employee. And then I'll go to the inner loop and get all of the weekly pay information. And I'll keep spinning through like that. So that I'm handling the many inside and I'm handling the one outside. In the outer loop. Yes, no, maybe? Does that make sense? Okay.
Okay, the next one coming up is another set of cursor examples. Okay, now what we're going to look at here is actually, I'm going to look at, I think, two of them today and probably two of them on Thursday and kind of step through this slowly. What I have is eventually I want to give my managers one raise and give my employees a different percentage raise. Okay? Close to reality. All right. So my managers get a 10% raise and my workers get 2%. Okay. So anyway. But what I need to do, and I did this a variety of ways, and you'll see the kind of efficient way on Thursday, but I wanted to kind of use PLSQL. So I did it in a little more, shall we say, cumbersome way at the beginning, so that I could use more features and kind of go through and talk about the loops and all the rest of it. And then I've got kind of a easy solution at the end. It's a little more complex, but it's in some ways more straightforward. So what I wanted to do the first time is I wanted to go through here and get all of the manager IDs. But there are a lot of people that have the same manager. My manager, 7839, 7839, 7839. So I want to get the unique manager IDs. So I want a list of the manager IDs. Okay, that's my first step here, is I want to get a list of the manager IDs, and I want them to appear just once. And I'm doing that with loops because I want to work with loops. So there are a variety of ways I could do that, such as get the distinct ones. But I wanted to work with loops. So the first thing I'm doing down here is I'm setting up a table. Okay? And the table, again, we're going to go back and look at record and table setup. But I decided that I was going to go through and use them, and then we'll go back and discuss them. It's, I think, two handouts back. So I set up a thing in memory, in the declare, and I said I have a type, key manager table is a table. So I'm setting up a table, okay? And I gave it the name key manager table, key manager table. And it's going to be a table of employer manager IDs. So it is the type. I'm going into the employee file and getting the manager ID type. Okay, so I'm taking whatever, there's the manager ID, and I'm taking its type, okay, and doing that. It's going to be indexed by a binary integer. Basically, it's going to be indexed and it's going to be taken care of pretty much through Oracle. And I am going to have the manager ID table is going to be each record on the T manager table. So the table is called T manager table. And each individual record on there is called the manager ID table. Okay, and in fact, the record is just made up of the manager ID. Then I have a cursor, and the cursor is going into employee, and I called the cursor C employee 1, and it is select manager ID from employees. Okay? And as I said, we'll talk about easier ways of doing this, but right now I wanted to do a bunch of things. And so this is the example that I came up with.
And then I've got B manager ID is a place I can put the manager ID. I've got a found flag, which is Boolean, which means I can set it to true or false. See, down here I say B found flag equals true, and I can set it, because it's Boolean, I can set it to true or false. Okay?
And I have a loop count that is set up as a binary integer, as a type. So I now come down here and I'm saying open the cursor. Okay, so at that point, all of the manager IDs go into the cursor. Okay? So now I'm coming down, and what I'm going to do is, again, what I want to have in the table is the unique manager IDs. Okay? And so I'm doing that with loops. So, I started out, and I have B loop count. And B loop count I have set to 1. Okay. And I am comparing it to the count of the records in the manager table. Okay, well, right now I haven't put anything in the manager table. It's all still sitting in the cursor. So when I compare V loop count to what is in the manager table, am I going to go in this loop, loop or not?
If I compare V loop count to the count of what is in V manager ID table, okay, I'm not going to go in because it's counting the number of records in the table, and the number of records is 0, right? So I'm not going to go into the loop, because loop count is 1, and this is 0. So 1 is not less than or equal to 0. So I don't go into the loop. I go down to end loop.
And at end loop, I ask the question, was the found flag false? Okay, so what is the found flag? The found flag is going to tell me whether I find a match. Okay, so, and we'll see that in a minute. So the found flag, if it's false, and I had originally set it to false, okay, up here I set it to false.
I haven't changed it. Okay, I set that to false, I set that to 1. I checked to see if I should go into the loop. I found out I shouldn't, so I dropped down to end loop. And now I'm hitting that if statement.
And in the if statement, I am saying, if the found flag is false, well, it is, because I didn't change it, then what I'm doing is saying, take the vManager ID that I got when I fetched.
Because the fetch up here is getting into vManager ID. So take the vManager ID that I fetched and put it into the table in the count plus 1. Okay, so the count of the things in the table was 0. When I add 1 to it, it's 1. So I'm putting it into the first spot. So basically what I had here was, when the table was empty, it was not worthwhile going through the loop because there was nothing in the table to see if it was already there. Okay, the table's going to have the unique manager IDs. It was empty. So clearly the one I just read wasn't in the table because the table was empty. So I didn't want to go into the while loop. I decided to drop out of the while loop based on the condition. And then I said, okay, if the found flag is equal to false, it can't be because false gets changed if it's going to get changed within the loop. And so I just take the ID and put it in the table. Now I've got one thing in the table.
Okay.
Is count a column?
Pardon me?
Is count a column in the table?
No, count is count how many things are in the table. Just, it's one of the things that
Oracle provides for you. Is if you set up a table, you can get a count of what's in the table.
Oh, it just seems like it would be a column to have a table name dot count.
No, it's a, basically it's a method.
That, a method that they have set up. And there's several associated with all these different things, but dot count. And as I said, I'm doing this in not the cleanest way, and one of the reasons is that I wanted to use a lot of these kinds of things. And so we've got dot count there. Okay, I'm going to stop for just a second. And I'm going to bring up okay, so file, new window, and I'm going to go to my website, and I am going to bring up the PowerPoint presentation that goes with this, because, in fact, okay, procedures, exceptions, another set of cursor examples. Okay, we can do this. It opened last night, so I know it's there. So, this kind of actually explains it kind of as I go along. So, I'm just going to look at this. This is the data. Okay, and for a description, you ask the question about the description. Employee of the ID, last name, first name, manager ID, and salary are all I have in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so here is manager ID. Okay, so the individual employees, I have who their manager is over here. So this is the employee, this is their manager. So John Smith has a manager of 7902, and if I go and find 7902, I find that Fred Ford is his manager.
Jennifer Ford.
Okay, am I not reading right?
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. Okay, I went up a road and picked up Fred. Okay, Jennifer Ford is his manager. Okay. And if I look down at 76, at Kevin Allen, 7698 is his manager, and that's Marion Blake. Okay?
So everybody has their manager on there.
Okay? So if I go to this, okay, so what I've got here is kind of an explanation of it. And I thought that actually this worked fairly well, so I'm going to kind of run through this. Because on some of the later slides, I actually have the records that are being handled. So I set up here, the cursor will hold all the manager IDs. So again, the cursor is all manager IDs. The table will hold unique manager IDs. The processing determines uniqueness and updates the table. So that's an output, in a sense. It's not an output that it's going out, but I'm producing it. The table is empty when I'm starting, and I'm putting stuff in the table as I go along. Okay? So I've got this table that is empty, and I'm going to put things in it. I've got a cursor that obviously starts out empty, but the minute I open it, it's no longer empty. And it's going to have all the manager IDs in it. Okay? So the while loop is checking for unique manager IDs. If the unique is found, the flag is set to true. Note the exit, which takes you out of the loop ahead of schedule, which is not one of my favorite things, but I used it because it's heavily used. And we'll get into, you know, other ways of doing it. But that's one way. And then if after exiting the unique loop the flag is false, it means that a match was not found, and so the manager ID is moved to the table.
Okay, so if I go through the loop, or in the case of the first one where I drop out of the loop without even going in, the next thing I do is check the flag, and if the flag is false, that means I didn't find a match. And so I am putting the manager ID into the table.
Very nice.
Okay.
So the top, the top line, that's not creating the table, is it? That type team management table is?
Yes, it's creating a memory table.
It's creating a memory table.
It's not, yeah. That's actually, I should have said that. Table is a table, or a table is a table. Unfortunately, a table is a file within a database, but it's not creating a file within a database. Okay, when we do the create table, we're creating a file within a database. This is a memory table. Okay, it's just more like an array. Basically, think of that as an array. Arrays used to be called tables. Hmm. Tables used to be called files. So there's my vocabulary problem. Okay? So think of this as more of an array than anything else. That I have set up an array that is going to hold unique manager IDs. Okay? So it's that kind of table. And so, unfortunately, PLSQL has two uses of the word table. One is to create a file within a database, and the other is to create what is close to being an array. Huh? You'll find this a lot. And then what I love best is I'll read an article and I'll read a word that they're defining. And I'll say, when did that definition come up? I missed that definition. And, you know, it's one of these cutesy words to describe something that they have come up with. I can't remember what it was, but I was reading an article and it was just full of them. It was just absolutely full of, you know, why did we need a new word for this? We had a perfectly good word for this. Why do we need a new word? To get a high-paying job. Okay, so when you get out of the loop, and notice what I did in here. I used a loop, and I used a while, and I used a for. So I was being very, very creative in trying to stick in all of the different kinds of loops. So I have a loop, I have a while, and I have a for loop. So the for loop is really not part of this, but essentially once I have filled the table up there, I am using the for loop to display the results on the screen. Okay, so I say, for I equals 1 up to the count of what's in the table now. So when I'm all done, the count is presumably 10, 12, something like that. So I'm saying for I going from 1 to 12, DBMS put out the output line of the manager table I, which will tell it to take the first one because I will start out 1. And then it will take the second one, and then it will take the third one. So it will basically display everything.
Is I for integer?
Yeah, I and I is for, that's the way you write a for.
Talk about sticking with something. Frequently, I, which stands for index, is the control in a for loop. And you kind of put it in there without thinking. And that was long before things like text editors that we use now. Try copying that over into a Word document and all I's will suddenly become capitalized. So I is probably not the greatest thing to use, but it's a long time history of using I.
Okay, so this little routine is here for nothing more, this for loop, for nothing more than just showing the results of the screen so that you can see what happened. Because otherwise there'll be no seeing what happened, because I am putting it into a memory table, and when I close out of the program, nothing has changed. The memory table or array evaporates. So I wanted to prove that I've actually done something. So the for loop is there to show what is in that memory table. So I'm stepping through each element in the memory table and doing the DBMS line to put it out, okay? Because essentially, up here, I open the employee table. After I'm done with this loop, I close the employee table, and I'm basically done. Okay, now I'm going to, in the next program, do something with this, like give the raise. But in this first program, I'm not even giving them the raise. I just broke the program up and said, okay, this is the part that is going to take in and figure out who the unique managers are. And as I said, this is kind of a cumbersome way of doing it. Ignore that and go with it. Yeah.
Just to kind of go through it, like with a while, vloop count is less than or equal to v manager ID table dot count loop. You said in the very beginning, like it starts out at zero, right? Manager ID table dot count.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Is that because it's kind of like the array? It's going to go through, and the first thing doesn't hold anything.
Right. Well, right now the array is empty.
It's empty. Oh.
I haven't put anything in array.
Okay.
So you can think about other languages. I mean, you can define an array as empty because you can be taking data in and putting it in the array.
I see.
And that's what I'm doing here, is I'm putting data in the array as I go through it.
Okay,
okay, so the array starts out empty.
Yep.
Okay, the table, which is, as I said, like an array.
Yep.
So if it helps you to think of it as an array, think of it as an array.
Yeah.
Okay, so essentially, the while here says if vloop count, which I know is 1 when I go in here, if 1 is less than or equal to the count in the table. Now, the reason for that is if I have put 3 things in the table, we'll say, and I've just read another record, another ID, I want to check all 3 in the table and make sure it doesn't match any one of them. Okay? And actually, we should probably move on to the next slide because this one kind of steps through and shows it as we go. So, if I find a match, and the if statement finds a match, if I find a match, then I set the found flag to true, meaning I found a match. And if I find a match, then I immediately get out of here. And again, not the greatest style as far as I'm concerned. I have real issues about exiting out of something from midstream. But PLSQL allows it. It's a lot used. You know, I've got a bunch of books at home, and I've got a bunch of examples from Oracle that heavily use it. And so I think you should at least see how it works. Okay? So in this one, if I find a match, I set the flag to true, and I get out. Okay? And that ends the if. Now, I think a better technique with that would have been to have an else on there. Instead of saying exit, you put in an else, and then you'd say, oh, add 1 to the count. I only want to add 1 to the count if I'm going back up to the loop. So I can do, you know, I can set things up with an else, and I can change the loop such that I will then get out. But at this point, I've got an exit going out.
We're kind of doing the same thing as the else.
Yeah, because I only add 1 if I stay in.
If it's this, you know, and if else. Very just different words.
So, anyway, I could have changed that style of loop, the way I would have started out changing it would be with an else. But I didn't this time, so let's stay with the logic as it's written and not confuse the issue anymore. So if I find a match, I exit out of here, which means I come down here and I say, if the found flag equals false, it doesn't, because if I found a match, I set it to true, and so I don't do that if I hit the end loop and go back up. Okay? So, in other words, inside that loop, if I find a match, then I set the flag to true, which means it doesn't get put in the table, because this is the line that puts something in the table slash array. That's the line that puts it in. If the flag is false, I do that line. If the flag is true, I don't do that line. And so up here, if I set the flag to true, when I come down to the if statement that tests for false, I will not even go in there. So I will not put anything in the table. Okay? If I don't find a match, I add one to loop count so I can compare to the next thing. Yeah?
So if the flag is false and the next line says plus one count, that make it true?
Say that again. Where are you?
The greenish blue line under red. That one. If the found flag is false, then the next line says add one to the count.
Well, it says put manager ID into the table and do it with the count plus one.
So I
add one to the count, which means it goes into the next spot.
So would that make it true?
No. It just puts it in the table. But kind of the flag only changes this one spot to true. So no, it doesn't change to true.
It just puts
it in, and then I loop back up.
Because, then you have like an else statement underneath the end if.
No, because I don't want to do anything.
Yeah, under end if, you have the B loop count set to.
Okay, now you're back up here.
Yeah, in the red, yeah.
Okay. You gotta keep me where you are. Okay, you're back up on the red.
Yeah.
And so V loop count equals V loop count plus one.
So that
means that I check the next one. So if there are already three things, we'll say, in the table, and I read another ID, I want to check the first thing in the table, it didn't match. Check the second thing in the table, didn't match. Check the third thing in the table, didn't match. So I want to keep checking each element in the table. Okay? So, let me go on to the next slide, because I think I start to actually not on the next slide. The next slide is kind of an explanation. On this one, okay, I'm starting out. And I said, you're going to have to keep track of the table because I don't have the table here. But I said, fetch C employer into manager ID, into B manager ID. So the one I'm looking at is 7902. Okay? So when I put in this one when I was doing it, and this is a good idea if you have trouble following it. I put in the DBMS output put line, and I said count before the while, and I told what the count was, just so I could see it. And again, this is like in JavaScript, you put in alerts periodically so that you can see what's going on. You use DBMS for the same thing. So if you're not sure what's going on, you put in this DBMS line, and then you can see the result. So I put it in, and it says count before while is zero. Okay, so because I've created the table, there's nothing in it.
So on the first time through, I read the 7902, and then I said, okay, I'm now going to do a comparison, but I'm going to tell you what it's going to be compared to. Okay? So I know loop count is one. I now know that the count before the while is zero. So I now know that the comparison I'm doing is one less than or equal to zero. Okay? So I took this B manager ID table count, and that's what I displayed. So that I know that when I hit that while, I'm going to be testing is one less than or equal to zero. Yes, no, maybe?
Because there's nothing in that table I created. I created a table. This is my first time through, and I have not put anything in the table yet. So therefore, the count of what's in the table is zero.
It wouldn't be null?
No, because counts aren't null. Counts are numbers. Okay? So the count is going to be zero.
And just to kind of show you what's happening, I put in a couple of DBMS lines so that you can kind of follow what's happening.
Only the first time I'm going to be zero.
If I put something in, yeah. And I've got a program so that I will put something in if I drop out of the loop. Because I've set the flag to false. If I don't go into the loop, there's no way it's going to get changed to true. So when I come down here and test it for false, I will execute this line. And this line puts something into the table. Okay?
And then it goes back up.
Because it hits end loop and end loop goes back up. So, I now have the count before the while is zero. Okay, so I'm explaining that, so I'm showing that. So now I hit the while, and I'm comparing one, is one less than or equal to zero? No, it's not. So I drop out of the loop. Is the flag false? Yes. So I take the vManager ID, and I put it into the table. So 7902 is written in the table. Okay, so I just said here that 7902 is written in the table. So now when I go down to the next one, okay, because I hit end, if I hit end loop, I come back here and I fetch the next one. So I now fetch 7698. And when I come here and print out that count before, the while is going to be one. Because I've already put one thing in the table. So, is loop count, notice I reset loop count every time before I come in. So is one less than or equal to one, is what I'm happening. And yes, it is. So then I say DBMS put out a line, and I said count and while one before if is one. I just basically told what was there. Okay, so that's a one. So then I go in, I say is manager ID equal to what's in the table? Because B loop count is a 1, so it's looking at the first thing in the table. Okay? And it's saying, is the manager ID, which would be 7698, equal to what's in the table, which is 7902? No, they're not equal. Okay? And so I drop down, that's the end of the if. And I add one to loop count. Okay. And I go back up, and is loop count less than or equal to the count in the table? Well, loop count is now 2, right?
Then I get reset.
No, because I go in through the while. I don't go up above the while. I come in at the while.
You
So loop count is now 2, right? The count in the table is still 0, right? I mean, it's still 1, sorry. Sorry. Yeah, right.
I'm sorry, it's still 1. So that means it's 2 less than or equal to 1. Good. 2 is not less than or equal to 1. So therefore, I'm done with the loop. I come out. Is the found flag false? Yes, because I didn't change it. So now 7, 6, 9, 8 is written in the table. So I now have 2 things in the table, 7902 and 7698. And that basically went through the 7698. Okay.
The if statement was never equal because we were checking 7698 with the only thing in the table, which was 7902. Therefore, the flag stayed false. Therefore, when I came down here, I added the 7698.
Now, the manager ID numbers, are those numbers that you put in at the table manually, or are they generated by law?
Manually, somebody did.
Okay.
I actually took it. This is an Oracle example. This was an Oracle example that I have.
So I was just using one of their examples, actually.
I just wanted to make sure that, like, in the loop, the Oracle didn't make an ID number.
No. Okay, so 7698 is now written in the table. So the next one I'm going to get is the 7839. Okay, so I've now read the 7839. Okay. And again, we're going to go through this. Now, I've just read in the 7839. Right now, I have in the table 7902, 7698. So I need to compare the 7839 to 7902. I need to compare the 7839 to 7698. And then I find that it's not there, so I'm going to end up writing it in the table. Okay? So I'm going to go in here, and the count before the while is 2. Okay? Because there are 2 things in the table. And so I go into the loop, and V loop count is 1 because I always set it to 1 prior to going in. So I'm saying is 1 less than or equal to 2. Yes, 1 is less than or equal to 2, right? Okay. So then I put out the count just because I put it out every time in there, so it just says 2 each time. But that kind of shows how many times I'm going through. I probably should have put out what loop count was, but I didn't. So it shows it going through, and then I say, okay, is the manager ID, which is 7839, equal to the thing in the table modified by 1? So the thing in the table modified by 1 is 7902, they're not equal. Okay? So they are not equal, so I drop out of the if and I add 1 to loop count. So loop count is now a 2, and I loop back. Okay? Is loop count, which is a 2, less than or equal to the count in the table, which is also a 2? It's less than, it's equal. So I go in, and I print out this line again, count and while, because I have the DBMS line. So I'm printing that out again. And then I say, is manager ID equal to the one in the table that I'm looking at? So I'm now comparing 7839 to 7698. They're not equal. Okay, so I go out and I add 1 to loop count. So loop count is now a 3. Is 3 less than or equal to 2? No. So I don't go into the loop. Because 3 is not less than or equal to 2, so I don't go into the loop.
I drop out of the loop and say, is the farm flag false? Yes, it is. So I put the 7839 into the table. Okay, so now I've got 7839 in the table. Okay. So, it can't possibly be what time it says it is. Okay. So now I'm reading the 7839 again. And I notice I said here, okay, so I'm coming in again. And now I've got three things in the table. There are the three things that are in the table. Okay, so I come in here and I put out a count before the while, which is three, because I've got three things in the table. So I go in and I say, is loop count, which is a one, less than or equal to three? Yes, it is. Is the manager ID equal to the first thing in the table, 7902? No, 7839 is not equal to 7902. So I drop out of the if and I add one to loop count. So loop count is now a two. So I go back and I have loop count is a two. Is two less than or equal to three? Yes, it is. I put out another one of these lines over here. And then I say, okay, is the V manager ID, which is 7839, equal to the second thing in the table? No, 7839 is not list equal to 7698. So I add one to loop count, and loop count is now a three, right? So while three is three less than or equal to three. Yes, it is. So I go in, I put out another one of the lines over here in the DBMS, and then I say, okay, is V manager ID, which is 7839, equal to the third thing in the table? Yes, it is. So I set the flag to true, and I exit. So when I exit, I take the line right below the end loop, and I say, if V found flag equals false, okay, and it doesn't because I've set it to true, okay? So therefore, I do not add that to the table. Okay, if the if statement was equal in the third check, because we were checking 7839 with the three things in the table, on the last check there was a match, so the flag is set to true, and the loop is exited. Okay? So do you understand? Yeah.
So essentially you're going to have a new table where the manager ID is only listed once.
That's right. Exactly. That's my whole goal in this. And would there be an easier way to do it? Yeah. But then I wouldn't have got to play with all these loops, and that's my goal here, is really to play with all these loops so that you can follow the logic that's happening inside the loops.
Probably a stupid question.
Yeah, that's okay.
But we're taking the manager ID numbers up there in the top right from employee one and we're putting them into manager ID in the loop.
It's right. Not a stupid question. It's a question I don't understand. So let's try one more time.
Okay.
What I'm doing is taking the stuff from the table, the select manager ID from employees, and the dot, dot, dot means I only selected the ones I'm working with. Okay, so that's sitting out in a table, as in a table that is a file. And I am putting it into a table, as in a table that's an array. Yeah, I'm putting it into that. So I am putting it into this table, manager ID. I'm putting it into the table. I don't remember. Actually, that's the elements within the table. But I'm putting it into that table / array. It's not exactly an array if you drew the reading, but it's close. It's close enough for government work. So what I'm doing is I'm reading from a table that is a file and putting it into a table that is an array, basically. Okay? And if you're coming out of this alive, that's really good.
Well, it's really going to a memory table, right?
That's right. Well, that's what an array is.
Right.
An array is a memory table. It's something that's set up in a memory for you to use. And that's why I put, when we looked at the whole program, that's why I have the for loop there. Is you are not going to, when this runs and I stop it, there is nothing. Because it was put into a memory table. But I wanted to see what was in the memory table. So I put in that for statement to go through the memory table and show everything that was in it just to prove that it actually worked. Yeah.
So would this memory table be able to be used for other information that you might want from that table?
Yeah. Well, in fact, the next example coming up is going to then use the stuff.
Okay.
But I basically broke it down so that this first program does nothing but fill the table. And then I have the for statement at the bottom to prove that I filled the table.
Would it be labeled differently in the catalog?
Would it be labeled differently in the catalog?
Yeah, if you select asterisk and cat, would it come up and make a difference?
I see what he's saying, like if
you... Oh, no, because it's not permanent.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay, it's not permanent. This is a memory table. Again, if you've taken other languages... Well, you've seen a little of arrays in JavaScript. But an array is something that is set up in memory that is used for the duration of the program. But it's not permanent. Okay, tables are permanent. Tables as in file tables are permanent. Views are permanent in the sense, and view would show it differently in that. But views are permanent in the sense that the structure of the view is permanent. The data that's in it isn't, because the data gets created every time. But the structure is permanent. So I then went through and I kept doing this, and 7839, notice, shows up three times. So there's two times that I go through and I don't add anything to the table. And then when I get to the next one, which is 7698, that one also is not going to be added to the table because 7698 matches the second one. So that's going to get out there on the second one. On the second check, there is a match. So the flag is set to true and it's executed. Okay, notice that Note that the logic does enter the while loop. It goes through the loop two times, comparing 7839, the new number, to the numbers already in the table. It finds a match on the second check and sets the flag to true. Okay. So, where am I? So, at the end, there is a for loop, and this is what the for loop does. Is the for loop, I get that stuff out of it. Okay? So the for loop, when I run this program, that for loop shows me what's in the table. And if we go back to the program, okay, you can see the for loop down there at the bottom. And the for loop is what is generating, is putting out, because it's doing the DBMS, and DBMS means put on the screen, and it's going through from one to the count of what's in the table. So it's going through up to and counting how many things are in the table. So that's going through and doing that. Okay? Yeah, no, sometimes these PowerPoint presentations actually are there
to break it down
a little bit. And on this particular one, I was going to go crazy trying to keep track of which numbers I was on. Right, and I'd already done it in the PowerPoint with all the careful cuts and paste, so... The PowerPoint made more sense in that sense. Okay. So the next one. Okay. No, you're right. Okay, so on the next one, what I wanted to do. I'm trying to. You think I need to zoom up a little bit? I think I'm actually going to go back into the PowerPoint. Because it goes into the PowerPoint. Wait a minute, where am I? There I am. Okay. So I'm going to go back into the PowerPoint. So I've now set up a second cursor. Okay? And so I've got a cursor that says select employee ID and salary from the employee file for update of salary. Now, what this for update of salary does is it locks that record until I'm done with it. And that's key, because don't forget, this is probably being run over a network. And somebody else could be trying to do something at the same time that you are. And so if I am doing an update, I need to lock the record that I am updating so that nobody else can work with it, okay? So I'm locking the information that I'm working right now. Other people can look at it, but they can't change it because you don't want to have two people changing the same data at the same time, and whoever hits the enter first wins. Is not what you want happening out there. Okay, so I'm locking it. For update of salary means I'm locking the salary and saying nobody else can change salary in these records. I've actually done that with something where I had, you know, ran into that problem of myself. I was doing it. I, you know, managed to go in twice and managed to undo my previous update, kind of what I thought I had done, and I don't remember exactly how I managed to do it, but I managed to outfox myself at one point. I think that was with Lotus Notes I was working with at the time. Okay, and then I've set up a bunch of variables that I want. Okay, so I've got the variables, but the important thing is I've added a second cursor to hold the records I'm updating, a hold area for the employee ID, a work area for salary, and an index. This is the logic that we looked on the previous slides to develop a table of unique manager IDs. Okay, so once I have finished getting that table established, now I'm going to be using that table. Okay? So the fetch, I'm opening the C employee 2. I'm fetching the information from it into the two variables that I set up. I'm saying exit when I'm done. I'm setting the flag to false, and I'm setting loop count to 1. Okay? So this loop is very similar to what I was doing before. Is I am now taking in the employee ID that I just fetched, and I'm comparing the employee ID to the first thing in the table. Here's my table. I'm comparing it to the first thing in my table, okay? And if the employee ID matches the first thing in the table, I set the flag to true and get out.
Otherwise, I add one to the count and I see if the employee ID is equal to the second thing in the table. And then I see if it's equal to the third thing in the table. And I keep going through that table array looking to see if the employee ID is in there. And I do it up until count, so that I search every record in the table array. Okay? So if I find a match, I set the found flag to true. Otherwise, it stays false. So now I come down here and I say, if the found flag is true, then they get a 10% raise. Else, they only get a 2% raise. Okay? We're talking reality. Okay?
It's probably more lopsided
than that, to be honest. 10% probably 1.3. Okay. And the update then does the update and changes the salary. So that's what I'm doing here, is I'm now updating employees and I'm setting the salary to B salary, where current of C employee 2.
Which means that it's a check, basically, to make sure that it's the current record that I'm updating. I want to update only the current record. And it is, the record here is where current of, pointing to the cursor. This assures that the record being processed is updated. Okay? Because the record is sitting in a cursor right now, and I'm updating it. I want to update the current one. And so the where current of is kind of the way they came up with to have the insurance of it is going to update the current one. So then I go back and I fetch another one when exit when it's not found. And so as long as it's found, I go through. And for all of them, I loop through to find out if the employee ID is in that table array that I established. And if it's in there, then the flag gets set to true, and they get this kind of a raise. Else, they get another kind of a raise. Okay? And the flag thing is lots of times a nice way of doing it rather than putting the if statement inside the loop and going through it. So I use flags a lot when I find this, set a flag, and now test the flag. I just think it's a nice way of coding.
So it's going to go through the loop, and it's going to see who's manager.
One at a time, it's going through the loop.
And then after that, it looks at each one to see if the flag is true in each.
That's what's happening in the loop. Okay, in the loop, I am comparing, as long as I go in, I'm comparing the employee ID, which I just got when I did a fetch, with what's in the table modified by loop count. So I look at the first one, then I look at the second one, then I look at the third one, then I look at the fourth one. When I find a match, I set it to true and I get out.
There you go.
If I don't find a match, I keep adding and I keep doing it up until I have maxed out my B manager table count. So when I max out, then I know that the person is not in the table, and so the flag stays false and they get a 2% raise. If they're in the table, they're a manager, the flag gets set to true, and they get a 10% raise.
And it goes right back to the beginning when it hits the end of the loop.
When it goes back, it goes right back and fetches the next thing, exit when it's not found. Again, not my favorite way of doing it, but it is a way that at least I've seen in a lot of examples that even Oracle puts out. That actually Oracle puts out.
Is there a loop? Maybe it's not actually a loop, where it runs this code every, let's say, 12 months or 18 months or 2
I mean, certainly people can set that up. That's an administrative thing.
Yeah.
I can, once, if I, you know, once I have this, this is a script, and the script can be scheduled if I wanted to do that.
But that wouldn't be code. That would probably be something else outside the code.
Yes.
Okay.
It would not be here. It would be something where I wrote a script that said execute this one every whatever months. Right. I mean, just like here, I mean, they execute certain scripts at 3 o'clock in the morning type things. And, you know, the administrator, that's what a network administrator can do, is set up these things so that it executes at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever. And if you remember the first day when I came in here and lost all my notes, it was because they had not set up the script correctly. And it decided to reboot my machine, okay? And after I went and said, this cannot happen anymore, they very nicely changed it. You know, someone somewhere didn't finish the job or something. But as I said, I spent about 2 hours doing that, redoing the notes. And so, I can't do this. This, I cannot have this happen anymore. No way. Okay, we're basically done. And I was right. We got through, I think, the first two.
Yeah.
So we're going to look at some more and talk about some other ways of doing this on Thursday. Okay, next week. Next week, I'm not going to be here Thursday. Congratulations. I'm not going to be here Thursday. I'm actually not going to be here Monday. I'm disappearing for the week and taking 2 personal days. So what's going to happen is Pat is going to be running an open lab in here from 9:30 till 2 on Thursday, which I always do at least once a semester anyway.
Yeah.
So he's going to be running an open lab in here from 9:30 to 2. So that people can come in and work on something, and you know, I'm going to put up a homework this week, but next week is catch-up week, so I won't even put up a homework. So he's also going to be here Monday from 11 to around 2:30 or 3.
2:30 or
2:30, whatever.
One of the days is actually going to have it's either going to be 3:30 or 3.
Okay, well, you've got to send me so I can put it up.
Yeah.
But he's going to be in this room, because I'm canceling my Monday class too, and we're going to hold an open lab in this room as well on Monday from 11 to 2. Or
3.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be a busy guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, part of it is that if you guys come, you can work together on something, you know, and you can talk to each other. A lot of what I found when I held these open labs is that's what happens a lot, is that people work together.
Yep.
You know, they turn to somebody in their class for help. Okay. We have 2 enthusiastic students. Okay. All righty.
Great. Digital basic. Oh,